We're turning to God's Word this morning in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, in the chapter number 24. We want to read from verse number 13. And we trust that the Lord will even bless us as we read through His Word at this time. Luke 24, verse number 13. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word this morning. And we rejoice in this wonderful account of the risen Savior walking with his people. Our prayer is that, O Lord, as we would study this passage of thy word, thou wilt write it afresh upon our hearts. Thou wilt show us new things. Thou wilt teach us, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to even correct things in our lives that are not right. I pray that thou wilt empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy spirit. And may the word come with freshness and with power. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his eternal glory. Amen and amen. Over the past week, all the disciples that have followed the Lord Jesus Christ and those who most hoped that he would redeem Israel from their bondage have been on an emotional roller coaster. From singing Hosanna to seeing him crucified, to going to the tomb to find that his body was missing. It's hard to really imagine what they were going through, how weary they must have felt with all these different things that had happened in such a short space of time. And here we join two of those disciples, two that followed the Lord, two that had believed in the Lord, as they make their way to Emmaus. And we have to be honest and say that we often read this passage and we do not understand how they could have walked beside the Lord Jesus and not have recognized him. But the Bible does tell us that their eyes were withholden, or they were not able to see or comprehend or to understand who he was. And I simply want us to go with the two people on their journey. I want us to consider some lessons that we can learn as we consider the journey that they took. The first lesson I believe that we can learn from these two is that God's people do face difficult times. God's people do face difficult times. Sometimes we think that when we're saved, everything will be okay. Everything will be easy. There's certainly a false gospel out there, a prosperity gospel, that if you have enough faith, you'll have no ill health. You'll have the best that money can buy. You'll have as much money as you want, depending on your faith. But when we come to the scriptures, the reality is that we will face difficulties. In this world you shall have tribulation. That's what the Lord said to his people. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Sometimes those difficulties come through testing. We see different people in the scriptures who were tested, whose faith was tested, and the Lord was proving them. We can think of Noah, who set a task to build an ark and to preach the gospel. And he did so for 120 years. He served the Lord in this way. And I'm sure there were many a days when that test came, when the people mocked him for what he was doing, whenever there was such a rejection of his gospel. Remember, apart from him, there were only 7 other people heeded the word. And I'm sure there was such a test, but the Lord not only brought him through the test, but gave him great victory because of his obedience. We think of others throughout church history who have known the testing of the Lord. Their life wasn't easy, but it was blessed. Their pathway wasn't smooth, but it was a way of the Lord bringing great blessing to the church through individuals. Not only can difficult times come through testing, difficult times can come through the effects of sin. For example, we know what sickness is. Now, not because we're sinful, but because sickness is an effect of sin. It's one of the results of the fall. It's one of the results of the curse, that we know pain within our body, that we know our body's weakening and getting sick. We know what it is to be hurt by others. Sometimes even by other believers, whether intentionally or unintentionally, we know what it is and we face difficult times. Sometimes it's through persecution. Those difficult times can come because we're persecuted, because we stand as believers. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe you get that extra work. Maybe you get a harder line than anybody else simply because you're a believer. Maybe it's because you're a member of this particular denomination. However, as we read this passage, we will notice that their difficulty did not come through testing or through the effects of sin and sickness, etc. It wasn't through persecution, but their difficulty came through a lack of understanding and belief in the Word of God. How do I know that? We'll turn over a few pages to John's Gospel, chapter 2. And in John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 18, we're at the commencement of the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then answered the Jews, verse 18, and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, saying that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. And when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. You see, it wasn't until after the Lord had risen from the dead. It wasn't until after he had appeared to them that they understood what he had been talking about. They believed what he had been talking about. Whenever he was in the tomb, they didn't hark back to this time, but it was after he had risen that they harked back to this time and that he understood. You know, it's easy to read Scripture and it's easy to quote Scripture. It's another thing to understand Scripture. It's another thing to obey Scripture. It's another thing to believe Scripture. And I'm often reminded of those words in Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And as we come to the Word of God as his people, whether in your daily devotion, in your personal reading, or in the public place of preaching, we ought to come with this prayer, "Open thou mine eyes." You see, it's possible to read the Bible with our eyes closed, spiritually speaking. May the Lord open our eyes that we see wondrous things out of his law. May the Lord not only open our eyes, but may the Lord give us an understanding and obedience to whatever he calls us to do. The scribes and the Pharisees knew the law of God. They knew the Old Testament, but they did not understand it. As Christ stood in front of them, they did not understand that he was the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises and types and shadows. We have false religions and cults today that have a misunderstanding of the Word of God. Oh, they'll quote passages of Scripture, but they misinterpret them, they misapply them, they do not fully understand them. And therefore, when we come to thoughts as why do God's people suffer, we must come to the Word of God and realize that it's not always the will of God for us to be free from trouble or free from care. The Lord uses suffering and the Lord uses difficult times in our lives often to draw us closer to him. I think of the hymn writer who penned the words, "God hath not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our life through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, or peace without pain. God hath not promised we shall not know trials and temptations, troubles and woe. He hath not told us that we shall not bear many a burden or many a care, but God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor and light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love." Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, "Affliction may be lasting, but it's not everlasting." And perhaps there's someone this morning in this gathering, and I don't know very many of you, but perhaps the reality is that you are going through a time of trial. You're going through a time of difficulty. A time that, humanly speaking, you wouldn't have chosen for your life or for your circumstances. I want to encourage you with the words of Scripture found in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. "When thou walkest through the water, I will be with thee." It talks there about the fire. It talks there about the flood. The Lord is with you, dear child. The Lord is with you this morning. He has not only brought you to the trial, but he will bring you through. And what God has permitted you to go through, there is strength for. There is grace to endure. And praise God, there will be victory. But the first thing we notice here is God's people do face difficult times. Secondly, Jesus himself drew near. We read that in verse number 15. "Came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." Now by his Spirit, the Lord is with us at all times as believers. We know that. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons and daughters of the children of God. But there are times whenever the Lord draws near in a very, very special way. And we do have to say this, that they did not know the Lord was there. That didn't mean he wasn't there. And we may not always be aware of the presence of the Lord, but we believe the Word of God, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Sometimes in our dark and lonely circumstances, we're tempted to ask the question, where is the Lord? Where's the Lord in my trial? Where's the Lord in my circumstances today? Well, if you turn with me to John chapter 14, we find the answer. John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And here the Lord Jesus has promised his Spirit to his people, the Spirit of the Lord dwelling continually. We think of 1 John, the epistle just at the end of the New Testament, 1 John, and the chapter number 4. And it says there, 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, 13. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. The Lord is with you. The Lord cannot leave you. The Lord cannot forsake you, because he has promised in his word that he will not do those things. The Creator of this world, the Creator of each individual here, the Sustainer of this world, the Savior of this world, the Sovereign of all things, the Friend of sinners, he is with you. And not only do we read the words, Jesus himself drew near, but we find that the Lord Jesus Christ encouraged them to share their burdens with him. And this is a wonderful thing, and I don't want you to miss this morning. Because so often we keep our burdens and our trials and our concerns and our fears and our hurts to ourselves, and we carry them around, and they weigh us down, and they discourage us. But here we see the concern of the Savior for his people. Look at verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? In other words, why are you sad? Why are you walking like this? Perhaps they were even downcast in their very body. Perhaps it was by their very demeanor. But he said, why are you so sad? And then he said in verse number 19, what things? What things? Now let's stop for a minute and think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ, the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, who knows all things, he knew what their problem was. He knew why they were sad. He knew what things were troubling them. So he wasn't asking them that he might gain knowledge, because he is the all-knowing one. Why was he asking them these questions? Because he desired that they would speak to him and bring their problems to him. When was the last time, dear believer, you brought your problems and your burdens onto the Lord? When was the last time that you honestly before God opened your heart and told him of your struggles? The hurts, the disappointments, the fears, the trials, the temptations that you struggle with. Sometimes, perhaps we come trying to make this perfect prayer and we thank the Lord for all these things that we have, and that's good and that's right, but we neglect to say any of our struggles. True prayer and true communication with the Lord is being honest. And he already knows. But we find in Scripture that we are to cast our care upon him, for he careth for us. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. The Lord invites us to come to the throne of grace, there to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. And until we get home to heaven, there'll always be a time of need. Hymn writer, born in Banbridge, buried in Port Hope, Canada, said these words, what a friend we have in Jesus. all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege. And never get over the fact that it's a great privilege. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And perhaps you've gone through this week, believer, carrying burdens that you weren't supposed to be carrying. Carrying burdens that you had no business carrying, because you could have given them to the Lord at the start of the week and known the freedom of leaving with Him, allowing Him to bear them. Be honest with the Lord in the place of prayer. Be honest with the Lord about your struggles and about your trials. He is ready and willing and able to answer our cry. But we must take them to the Lord. Then we see something else, that the Lord Jesus, having heard their trials and their burdens, takes them to the Scripture and teaches them about Himself. Look what it says in verse 25. And He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Now here we have a pattern for comfort, a pattern for encouragement as believers. First of all, we talk to the Lord. And then secondly, we go to the book. And thirdly, in the book, we search for Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, beginning at Moses. Now, what does that mean? Well, Moses is attributed by the Old Testament prophets and by the Lord Jesus Christ as the author of the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, also known as the Torah. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He, through the Spirit of God, penned those books. And therefore, the Lord took them to the beginning of the Scriptures. And what did He teach about? He taught about Himself. You see, Christ is there in the Scriptures, right from Genesis through to Revelation. We think of Genesis 3:15, the very first gospel verse, the proto-evangel, that one would come who would crush Satan's head, would bruise him. Perhaps he went to Genesis where Noah was building the ark, and the description of the ark, and how there was going to be one door in the ark, and how the people were warned that they had to come inside to be saved from the judgment of God, and perhaps how Christ said that He is the ark of salvation. Just like there's one way to safety in the judgment, so Christ is the only place of safety whenever the wrath of God's judgment will fall, and it is coming, because God will judge this world, and the wrath of God will fall upon the sinners. Perhaps the Lord Jesus took them that day to the tabernacle, and how every part of that tabernacle pointed to the person and work of Christ. Perhaps to the high priest and how he is fulfillment of the high priest. And to all these different types and shadows in the Old Testament. And how the Lord Jesus Christ was the fulfillment. And what happened whenever the book was opened and they saw Christ? They learned truths that were going to change their lives. And that's how we should come to the Word of God. Lord, as I come to this book today, change me through Thy truth. Not only did they learn truths that would change them, they were blessed through Scripture. How do I know that? Because it says in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, or while He opened to us the Scriptures? And you know, the world has such a low view of the Scriptures, of the Bible. They treat it as just another book. They treat it as some old-fashioned writing. And sadly, some believers have listened to such lies. Some believers come to the house of God and to the preaching of the Word of God because they have to. Because people wonder where they're at if they weren't here. But there's no excitement about hearing what God is going to say or see what God is going to do in the services. Friend, don't listen to the lie of the devil. This is a living word. This is a life-changing book. And if you come with an open heart before God whether it's the preaching of the word or the personal reading of the word, the Lord will deal with you, and the Lord will change with you, and the Lord will bless you. Your heart will burn within you. Never, ever look at coming to the house of God as something you have to do. Consider it something you get to do. A privilege the Lord blesses you with. You see, all of Scripture reveals Christ. Don't ever come at the end of an evening and say, "Well, I have to do my readings, there we go, that's that, tick, and put the Bible down." Look for Christ. And when you find him, then rejoice in what you've learned, and what you've seen, and what you've been taught, and worship him in the place of prayer. Now, what was their response to the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we find in verse 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though as he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us." And friend, whenever you read God's word and you hear about your Savior and the blessings that he has procured for us upon the cross of Calvary, you'll want to spend more time in his presence. They wanted to know more about who, about the Lord. They wanted to know more. They wanted more fellowship with this person. They did not know it was Christ. They knew they had found something they had not found anywhere else before. A joy, a fellowship, a blessing. And friend, that is true because there is no substitute for when God reveals his Son through his word. It inflames the soul. It gives zeal and earnestness in the spirit. It always gives a desire for more. Who are those who want to be in the place of prayer? Who are those who want to be in the house of God? Those who regularly are found in the place of prayer and in the house of God. It's when our heart grows cold that we've no desire to abide with the Lord or for him to abide with us. And if you're sitting in God's house this morning as a born-again believer and you really don't have any desire to be here, and it's been a time since you have just prayed, "Lord, abide with me. More of thee," then alarm bells should be ringing, and there's something in your heart that needs to be put right before God, because you're being robbed of the blessing of being in the presence of the Lord. As the Lord met with them, the Bible tells us that their eyes were opened and their understanding was opened. Look what it says at verse number 13. Or let's read from verse 30 for context. "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." So we see their eyes and their knowledge. Their eyes and their knowledge. It's interesting, whenever we think of eyes in Scripture, the very first mention of the eye is the beholding. And the use of the eye to behold that which God had forbidden. Genesis chapter 3. She beheld. She beheld the fruit that God had forbidden to be touched. Man's eyes used to sin. But the last mention of eyes in Scripture is whenever God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there'll be no more of sin's effects in heaven. No more sickness, sorrow, death. No more parting. Praise God, no more sin. No sorrow over those things. Nothing that mars this earth and makes it hard and makes it painful and makes it difficult will be found in the place that God is preparing for those who love him. And praise the Lord for that day when we see fully. Because right now, as God's people, we see by faith. We see by the eye of faith. And we thank God for the faith that he has given us to see Christ. But what a day will it be whenever faith passes to sight. And we no longer have to wonder, but we view him. And the Bible says we shall see him as he is. And not only that, we should be like him, for we shall see him as he is. See the scars of the nails upon his hands and his feet. See the face of the one who gave himself upon the cross of Calvary, willingly, for sinners like me. He opened their eyes, but also their understanding. It's interesting to note that understanding in Scripture is connected with the Holy Spirit. And of course, that has to be true because it's only the Lord can give us understanding, spiritual understanding about spiritual things. There are people today with degrees and doctorates after their name, but they don't know the first thing about spiritual matters. I dare say there are children in this congregation, 5, 6, 7 year olds, that know much, much more than doctorates today who know nothing of Christ. You see, it's not about how clever you are, humanly speaking. It's about the understanding that God gives to his people. And isn't it wonderful whenever God gives us understanding? My friend, you remember when God gives you understanding, there's a responsibility upon you and an onus upon you to act upon that understanding and to obey it and to put the principles into place in your life that are necessary through the revealed truth. We see just a couple of other things as we come to a close. When they knew more about Christ, they told others. When they knew more about Christ, they told others. Verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Whenever the Lord showed them truth, they shared. They testified. They shared. They witnessed. They proclaimed the good news. And what a challenge there is to God's people. What is it that we talk about? What is it that our conversation is taken up with? What is it in work and in school and our home that we share with others? Does the BBC News dictate our conversation? Or is it what we know and have learned about the Lord Jesus Christ? If people listen to our conversation for a day in our workplace, in our school, in our home, would they know about salvation? Would they know about the goodness of God? Would they know more about the Lord than they knew before they started listening? Or would it be of the world and the things of the world? May the Lord put a burden upon our hearts to speak more about the things of God. What have you shared with your companions, your family, your work colleagues? May the Lord take such a dealing with our heart that we can't but speak about him. And then the final thing is this. As they served him, Christ drew graciously near again. Look at verse 36. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. You see, there is a special blessing for those who honor the Lord. You do not have to be a preacher to know the nearness of God, or a missionary, or a Sunday school teacher. If you are serving the Lord and walking with the Lord, you will know the blessing of God. There's joy in serving Jesus. There's peace in him alone. Their motive was good and pure. They had been blessed. They wanted to tell others about the Savior. And you know what I love about this? Such was their conversation and their conduct that Christ himself was comfortable standing in the midst. As we think about our conversations, as we speak to others, could the Lord draw near and bless you? Is he honored by your lips and by your life? You've come to God's house perhaps with a burden, dear child of God. Give it to the one who walked this day with the two on the road to Emmaus and changed their lives completely. He took their burden. He gave them his word, and they knew a blessing in their heart that caused them to go and tell others. Maybe there's someone this morning, and the burden that you have is a burden of sin. You've never been saved. Reality is you're in God's house, but you're really on your way to a lost eternity, as you sit this morning. You've never trusted Christ for salvation. You've never repented of your sin and called upon the Lord to save you through the precious blood he shed on the cross of Calvary. Well, this Savior, the one who walked with the two on this very day, is the one who can save you. He's the one who can cleanse you. He's the one who can transform your life from that sinner deserving of hell to one who's lifted out of the dunghill of sin, set in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I wonder this morning, has the Lord been speaking to you, challenging you about your need of a Savior? I have wonderful news that there is a Savior who truly saves. He truly satisfies. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not this morning, as we even close, as we bring our final hymn, why not call upon the Savior today? Settle the matter of your soul's salvation and know the joy of sins forgiven. Amen. We're going to sing just a couple of verses of our closing hymn, 467, 467. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. We're going to sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Verses 1, 3, and 4, and then we'll remain standing for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and we praise thee for the privilege of being in the house today, Speak on, O Lord, we pray, when the voice of man falls silent. We pray, O Father, that we will be those who are wise in our walk with God, giving our burdens and our cares unto him. We thank thee, O Lord, for the great burden bearer, the one who bore our sins and our sorrows upon the cross of Calvary. And we thank thee that, O Lord, we have the privilege of walking in freedom today because of what Christ suffered for us. If there's one not yet saved, we pray you'll bring them unto faith in thyself and give us grace to walk each day, whatever the path thou hast laid before us, for the glory and the honor of thy name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.